WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Market uncertainty once again. The Dow dropping 500 points at the opening bell as investors weigh the consequences of the Trump tariffs. And as the president admits, the U.S. is in a transition period as the effect of those tariffs takes hold. House Speaker Mike Johnson trying to get a budget passed by Friday to avoid a partial government shutdown. He will need every Republican vote because the Democrats are not on board, says ABC's Jay O'Brien on Capitol Hill.
House Democrats have said that they are going to vote no. They've advised their members to vote no. They say that this government funding package doesn't do anything to protect entitlement programs, specifically Medicaid, which they say is on the hook for serious cuts in this Trump administration and in this new House Republican budget blueprint.
House Republicans can pass this on their own, but they would need at least some Democratic support in the Senate for it to advance. An oil tanker has collided with a cargo ship off the eastern coast of England. Lifeboats and rescue helicopters on the scene. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin parks managed by the National Park Service saw a record number of visitors in 2024. According to the National Park Service data, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway saw the biggest difference with over 900,000 visitors, a record high and a 12% increase over 2023. The Apostle Islands also saw a 3% increase and near record high last year with nearly 254,000 visitors. The increases come as the Trump administration seeks to slash the federal workforce, including National Park Service workers. A number of U.S. Department of Agriculture workers in Wisconsin have been temporarily reinstated with questions over the legality of their firings. On Wednesday, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the agency to reinstate about 6,000 probationary staff members across the country for 45 days. The workers were fired amid efforts to dramatically slash the federal workforce by the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Those workers still have little clarity on their job security after these 45 days. The Rice Lake City Council will discuss the potential purchase of the National Guard Armory building again this week. The council will further consider the purchase in a closed session on Tuesday after reviewing public input on the possible future of the site over the last couple of weeks. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs offered the city and Barron County the right of refusal on the over $500,000 property. The county declined, but Rice Lake is considering using it for affordable housing or a community center. Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of Phil Grassman to serve as the new Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, Grassman will serve the remainder of Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace's current term ending in 2027. Sheriff Wallace recently announced his intent to retire and said Grassman will be an excellent replacement. Grassman joined the sheriff's office as a deputy in 2004 and was appointed chief deputy in 2015. He also served as deputy warden of the Wisconsin DNR in Ladysmith from 2007 to 2016. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose to the Cavaliers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 112-100 at Fiserv Forum. Cleveland has now won 14 games in a row. How did Milwaukee measure up? Doc Rivers.
Honestly, I look at the game, guys, and they scored a bunch down the stretch, but defensively, we were good enough to win the game. Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough to win the game tonight.
College basketball, the Badgers learn they'll face either Minnesota or Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament Thursday afternoon in Indianapolis. The Badgers upset by Penn State over the weekend. It's Marquette against Xavier at Madison Square Garden on Thursday in the Big East tournament. And the Badgers women's basketball team head coach, Marissa Mosley, has stepped down after four losing seasons in Madison. NFL, Davante Adams headed to the L.A. Rams. The 32-year-old receiver will sign a two-year deal worth nearly $46 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s, even lower 70s. And be careful with fire. There will be elevated grassland fire danger today. Tonight, breezy into the 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, low to mid 40s. We'll be back in the 60s, even close to 70. Later this week, I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine. Why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And as promised, I'm joined by Dr. Anthony Eastreet. And, you know, Dr. Eastreet, if I tried to talk about all the accolades and all the accomplishments that you have in your lifetime, we wouldn't have time to have this conversation. So, first off, you represent social workers. Let's talk a little bit about what a social worker is.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Earl. Yes, I am the CEO of the National Association of Social Workers, and we are the largest professional membership organization for social workers in the U.S., and predominantly in the world. And so when we talk about social work, we talk about individuals that are trained and degreed through a Council of Social Work Education accredited program. So they have the skills, knowledge, and ability to work with individuals, families, and communities, but also organizations and policy, right? And so we cover that whole spectrum from, you know, birth all the way to death, and individuals are, come to see us, they are going to experience assessments, they're going to experience interventions, treatment plannings. Some of that also includes policy work and understand how policies impact individuals and families, but also making sure that we take the voices of individuals and families to make sure that we're advocating for sensible policies that not only benefit or take into account those that are most vulnerable, but also social workers that work with these individuals. And so, you know, again, a social worker covers a wide range of services. We are the largest provider of behavioral services in the U.S., but we also have our humble beginnings working in the child welfare system, where we still are doing a lot of great work, but we're also in technology, banking, finance. We're helping artificial intelligence feel and become more humanized. And so we're social workers are everywhere.
Are you facing a shortage of social workers? Are we facing a shortage of social workers?
So that's an interesting question, right? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we are one of the fastest growing professions out there. But that is only half of that story. I think the other half of that story is that we're seeing social workers leaving the profession because of burnout, because of low wages, because of lack of support from, you know, our state and federal governments to make sure that we can do the work that we do and still be sustainable in the lifestyle that we want. And so what I mean by that is, you know, how do we work with social workers to reduce the caseload? How do we work with social workers to improve working conditions so that when they go on vacation, they can actually relax and go on vacation? And so, you know, while we are a fast-growing profession, I don't want us to lose sight on the fact that many social workers are leaving the field or transitioning to different areas where the salary is comparable to the work that we're doing, but also there's a decrease in burnout in those areas, right? And so it's a double-sided question where, yes, we are growing, but also people are leaving because of the lack of support that we're receiving from funding, whether it's through insurance or through sensible policies that help to impact the individuals, families, and communities that we serve.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Dr. Anthony Eastreet. He is the CEO, basically, of social workers. And so let me ask you, I spent a lot of time in the public school system in watching some social workers dealing with what Dr. Eastreet is just some deplorable situations that did not exist for social workers when I was a young man. As I told you, I'm 70 years old, and some of the things that are happening today, homelessness amongst families, mothers moving their children weekly, sometimes daily, possessions in black garbage bags from place to place, children hungry, families hungry, not having any clothing. I mean, these are things, behavioral issues, lead poisoning of children because of the places where they live and stay. Children who live in places like the state of Wisconsin, where I live, and who don't have coats and don't have gloves. And, you know, it's a horrific reality for the wealthiest nation on earth, sir. It's a lot more difficult to be a social worker today than it was 40 years ago. Is it safe to say that?
I think the profession of social work has certainly evolved, right? And I think that everything that you're saying is where social workers are, right? You know, we help individuals, families, and communities find the resources that they need so that they can live the best version of the life that they want to live, right? And so we address unhoused. We address people that are unhoused. We address mental health, substance use. We address child welfare issues. And again, you know, I really want to say that social workers are, in fact, the heartbeat of our communities. You know, every day we encounter people in different various stages of life, whether it is, you know, at their lowest point or they may be in acute crisis or they're trying to prevent a crisis. They're going to come across a social worker that is able to help them, right? And I think the one thing that is always important is, you know, social workers are always on the front line. We are literally helping to maintain that social safety net that we see and that we've benefited from for many decades. The challenge becomes that, you know, while society in itself cares and they understand the issues, you know, that compassion alone is not enough. We need to make sure that people are engaging in that compassion plus action, right? That care that you see for that person that is unhoused, that care that you see for somebody that is impacted by mental health or substance use. How are you turning that into action? How are you helping to help society become better, right? And so social workers, we are experts in building community. We are experts in helping people to find their core group of people, right? But we're also experts in helping people to reduce the impact of mental health and behavioral health, helping people to find resources when they are dealing with being unhoused or housing instability. We are also involved in people when they come in contact with us on their worst days, when there may be some child welfare or child abuse issues. We're there as well, trying to make sure that those families get the resources that they need so they can be reunified or so that they can continue to engage in seeking the help that will get them to the next phase of their life.
You know, Dr. Eastreet, we don't see social workers. So therefore, since they're unseen, you know, it's hard for people to really comprehend and understand the work that they do. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, to what you're saying, I think people see social workers, but I also think that social work has been impacted by a bad brand, right? And so when we see the portrayal of social workers, it's typically in the child welfare system. It's typically we are portrayed as being overworked, ran down, and highly stressed, right? While some of that is true, I think the other part of it too is that social workers are everywhere. We are in certainly child welfare, but we're also in mental health, behavioral health, banking, entertainment, and technology. In fact, I was at an event this weekend where social workers are working with the entertainment industries, where they're working with actors behind the scenes to ensure that while they're putting on the great movies that they're doing for all of us to watch and enjoy, that they're also maintaining their mental health and wellness behind the scenes to be able to continue that kind of work. And so while, yes, in some ways we're unseen, I think it's because people have they have a vision of what a social worker looks like, and we've certainly outgrown that vision. And so when I say social workers are everywhere, more people than not are probably coming into contact with a social worker, and they just don't realize it. And so some of that is understanding that the social work brand has changed in terms of we are everywhere. But the other part of it, too, is if you've not experienced a social worker in your lifetime, I can almost guarantee 9 out of 10 times that you will come across a social worker at some point in time in your life.
So you chose social work as a vocation. Why?
That's a great question, and I get asked that a lot, right? But the reality is that I've always had a connection to behavioral health and ensuring that people can show up as their best selves, right? The other part of it, too, is it really does matter, like, who you come in contact with. My mentor was a Black male social worker, and when I was an undergrad at Bowie State University, an HBCU, my undergrad degree was in psychology. But then I came across my mentor, Mike Green, who told me about social work, who guided me through social work, who helped me understand social work. And as a result of that, I became a social worker. And now I make it a point to, you know, when I go out and talk to people, I help them to understand the scope of social work. But I also offer to mentor them in this space, because the reality of the situation is social work is one of the best professions that I could have ever chosen. I am a proud social worker. I love the work that I do. At the same time, understanding that we have a need for more social workers to be able to do this work. It is sometimes considered selfless work, but at the same time, it is very rewarding work. I just wish that at the same time when we, as we are thinking of it as rewarding work, that we're also compensated at a higher rate, that insurance companies are not constantly creating more and more barriers so that social workers leave the managed care space.
You know, when you look at where we are today with the administration that's in office now, and clearly safety net programs are being eliminated, cut back, the impact that that's going to have on families that need social workers and social workers who are scouring, you know, the heavens to find support for families at a time when those things are being cut back, the impact that must have on a social worker must be tremendous.
Yes, and so
how do they separate that and keep that? You know, there when you're watching this, it's hard for me to imagine that you know they can hang on. Can you hang on a second, Dr. East Street?
Yes.
All right, 855-752-40.
Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that one.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that one.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Thank God. Didn't try to hide your love for this other guy. No need to explain.
Motown Monday on the Earl Abrams Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guest is Dr. Anthony Eastreet. He is the CEO of social workers in this country. Dr. Eastreet, we've got a caller. Let's bring her on, Liz from Sarkville. Good morning to you. You have a question or comment for the doctor, Liz?
I just thank you, Earl. I love your show. And thank you, Dr. Eastreet, for all that you do. You know, what you do runs the spectrum of all ages, because I have to speak with social workers because my mom has had two strokes and she has to go to the hospital, has had to go to the hospital. So I speak with social workers a lot, and they are so kind. They arrange my mom's transportation and they give me updates. They arrange transportation back to her assisted living center where she lives. And so I appreciate you and all that you do immensely.
Hey, Liz, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Eastreet?
Liz, thank you so much. First of all, you know, I do hope that your mom is doing well and that she continues to do well. I am so glad to hear that your experience with social workers have been positive. I think to your point, you know, it really does talk about, you know, where social workers are. You know, we are also in, you know, healthcare settings and assisted living facilities. And I'm glad that, you know, we're able to help you and your mom to access the resources that you need so that she can be the best version of herself going forward.
You know, Dr. Eastreet, there was a time, again, when I was a young man, social workers were women. Has that changed much?
You know, it's interesting. you know, social work has traditionally been characterized as a profession that, you know, is predominantly people that go into it are women. I think the reality of the situation is we're seeing more and more men go into the profession, and in fact, there's quite a bit of men that are in the social work profession. I think that there is a unique diversity that within our entire profession that looks at men, women, trans women, black, white, Asian, you name it. We cover the spectrum on diversity, and I think that is one of the beauties of our profession is that.
Dr. Street. Hey. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. How were you able to continue to support diversity, equity, and inclusion when that's become just a no-no in this administration?
Because the reality of the situation is, Earl, and I say this with my entire being. People have mischaracterized diversity, equity, and inclusion in such a way that they only look at it in terms of race. When I talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it is the full spectrum of how people show up in this world, whether it is race, ethnicity, gender orientation, gender,
disability,
neurodiversity, disability, like all the different things. And so when people say, oh, let's get rid of DE&I, I'm not really sure what they're talking about, because the diversity, equity, inclusion makes sure that people can access buildings. When you have to utilize a ramp because you're in a wheelchair and utilize a button to get into a building to open a door, like that is diversity, equity, inclusion. It's literally the definition of making sure that people feel included and like they belong in the community and the society that we have built today. That's it.
So you refuse to allow the pressure of this administration to force, you know, what you guys and what you do and believe in to change that mission?
You know, I think diversity, equity, and inclusion have always been in the core fabric of social work as a profession. As we advocated for social justice, you know, social workers have been on the front lines of every major civil rights movement, social justice movement. And so when you think about diversity, equity, and inclusion as a new topic that people have been talking about post-George Floyd, it has been in the fabric of social work the entire time. And so for us, diversity, equity, and inclusion is really answering the question is, how do we help people feel like they can have access, that they are included, and that they belong, right? And those are three fundamental questions to really that help guide our work, right? If you show up in a social worker's office, they're really going to make sure, like, how can you live the best version of yourself? And that's whether you are a trans person, a black person, a white person, or you identify as something else. We're going to make sure that you can feel included, that you have access to things, but also that you feel like you belong, right? And that includes fighting for policies that help to increase that. And so when we look at, you know, when we look at state policies, we're always going to advocate on behalf of increasing diversity, equity, and inclusion in all sectors of life.
You know, Dr. Street, it has been an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to have this dialogue with you this morning, and really the strawberry on, you know, the ice cream is where you just laid it out on diversity, equity, and inclusion, man. That, you know, that is a must, I think, when you're talking about social work. It's a must when you're talking about life, right? And I don't care where it is. Yeah. That's who we are, right? As Americans, that's who we are as people. We aren't one people, you know, one group of people. I mean, we're one group of people. That's who we are.
No, absolutely. And I think to your point, the more, you know, as people are talking about how divided we are, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion that brings us together. The ability to have different thoughts, the ability to be able to talk about that, right? And it spreads across a lot of different topics. I think what has happened is we've allowed too many people to relegate diversity, equity, inclusion into just race.
So, Dr. Eastreet, we have to leave it at that. We'll reach back out to you. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. You're listening to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
To explain.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Hundreds of Wisconsin residents gathered at the state capitol in Madison on Friday to protest efforts by the Trump administration to cut funding for the National Institutes of Health and other research grants. The NIH is the largest source of federal funding for research across the country, contributing tens of millions of dollars to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Protesters gathered in the Capitol Rotunda seeking to draw more attention to the importance of that research funding for things like cancer, Alzheimer's, and heart disease. State lawmakers have introduced new legislation calling on Wisconsin to reduce its carbon emissions by over 50% over the next 5 years and reach full carbon neutrality by 2050. The bill, titled the Climate Accountability Act, is the first piece of state legislation that would mandate greenhouse gas reductions if passed into law. Lawmakers say the bill also prioritizes equity and economic growth in the clean energy sector. They hope the bill brings attention to the effects climate change can have on public health, economic stability, and environmental justice. Bayfield County officials say they're looking to provide improved social services by hiring more social workers. The county is looking to hire 3 full-time social worker positions who will mostly work with children in the area. Wisconsin has seen a growing social worker shortage in recent years, making it increasingly difficult for municipalities to find properly qualified workers and prevent excessive turnover. Bayfield County officials say they used to receive dozens of applications from qualified social workers, but now just receive a handful. Sawyer County authorities say 2 men have been arrested following a standoff that involved firearms and explosives. 47-year-old Michael Aaron Colalillo Sr. and 40-year-old Zachary Horan are facing multiple criminal charges in relation to the January incident. Authorities say they responded to an altercation between Colalillo and a victim, which involved allegations of assault, illegal firearm possession, and the creation of homemade explosives. That incident led to an extensive investigation by authorities before the arrests. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There might be a little trouble on Planet Netflix. Despite record gains last year, the streaming platform that seems to keep adding viewers and raising prices all at the same time saw its stock go down 8.5%, according to Variety, due to what most analysts are calling slower subscriber growth and a broader market reaction to President Trump's indecision on tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I know acting pretty much sounds like a cushy gig to most people outside the biz, but during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, actor Walton Goggins told the story of how he was bitten by a snake while filming episode 3 of season 3 of The White Lotus. The irony was that the snake was supposed to bite his co-star, Amy Lou Wood, who plays his girlfriend on the show. Macho Man Goggins owned up, though, and says he didn't exactly play it cool. Instead, he yelled, "Oh my God, I got bit by a snake," repeatedly in front of everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to the upper 60s, even lower 70s. And be careful with fire. There will be elevated grassland fire danger today. Tonight, breezy into the 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, low to mid 40s. We'll be back in the 60s, even close to 70 later this week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for health care and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford, the common sense judge who will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I wish you could hear, you know, this song kick into the next phase. Let's play for a couple seconds. Slipping into darkness. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-967-2789. Cardi, I don't think you ever heard that, right?
Nah.
Man, you need to hear it all the way through. It's bad. But anyway, you know, we've been talking about Elon Musk and Donald Trump and all of those MAGAs who support Elon Musk cutting the government. And, you know, we're always talking about the waste in the government and, you know, people who are getting contracts who don't deserve them. And I forgot who had called earlier, and he mentioned something about Elon Musk getting contracts. Well, Elon Musk double standard. SpaceX wins government contract while public services face deep cuts. A $38.85 million contract awarded to Elon Musk's SpaceX sparks outrage as his government office slashes funding for healthcare. Now, we know Elon Musk just had, you know, one of his rockets, you know, explode again. And yet he's got a government contract. And yet he's cutting all of these other educational and social programs. I don't know why people don't see a problem with that, right? He's benefiting from government programs while he's cutting all of these other programs. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. But here's something that really upsets me to no end. And we supposedly have freedom of speech in this nation. And it's being eroded right before our eyes. And this double standard of what speech is accepted and what speech is not accepted, the fact that we as Americans see this happening and we aren't outraged enough to call, you know, this administration out on it. Immigration agents arrest Palestinian activists who helped lead Columbia University protests. Now, when the height of the war in Gaza with Israel and, you know, I don't know, I'm having trouble thinking, Hamas was taking place. And there were college students all over this nation voicing their displeasure with the universities who supported Israel during that war that is still going on for the most part, except for this short hiatus. And yet, these students were called all sorts of horrible names and traitors and how dare they. And again, it helps to have been around for a while. Because I remember many college students during the Vietnam War. If you've been around a while, you remember on almost every college campus, That's what kind of helped bring the war to an end. The outrage of young people in the street and on universities, in universities, constantly saying, no, this is not right. University students are free. They've always been free to say what they feel. Throughout my entire life, that's the way it's been. And because they are free, they have been able to bring changes that many of us, you know, who have lived some time and, you know, kind of protective of our jobs and other things, that we can't speak out freely. And so the way this has been structured in this country for eons was that students were free, and they were free to speak their minds, and there would not be repercussions. Well, so why has that changed? I mean, all the different things that have changed and continue to change in this nation, I don't know it anymore. You know, and especially, you know, over the last 7-8 weeks. But I'll tell you, I was even opposed to it when Joe Biden was the president. I remember going down to UWM, University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and they had the tent cities there. And there was all this conversation about those students who were ill-informed. And they have no right to be supporting the Palestinians. And so they should totally support Israel. And I'm like, hey, man, that doesn't make sense to me to condemn students for their beliefs when that wasn't the way it was when we were young. It might have been. Some people may have spoken out about it, but not to the degree that is happening right now to condemn students for their constitutional rights. I mean, I thought that's what people fought, bled, and died for in this country. Now, that's what I was taught. People, you know, have a right to their views. Well, guess what? So why are immigration agents arresting Palestinian activists, you know, who led protests, peaceful protests, on these various campuses? So I invited some of the young protesters from UWM to my show. And people said to me, man, you had better watch it, man. You shouldn't, you're taking a chance. I'm like, hey, man, if it's considered taking a chance to expect your nation to live up to its creed, and people are afraid and they call that taking a chance, you know, maybe there need to be more Earl Ingrams. I'm sorry. We have to be willing to challenge our nation to be right, to do what's right. This is not acceptable to say to people and young people who are doing all that they can to build a future for themselves and trying to hold our nation accountable for what it says it is. Federal immigration authorities arrested a Palestinian activist Saturday who played a prominent role in Columbia University's protests against Israel, a significant escalation in the Trump administration's pledge to detain and deport student activists. What? Detain and deport student activists? Hey, man, that's what happens on university campuses. And so now we're going to do away with that? Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, sir?
I really like the topic you're talking on. We all remember Tiananmen Square.
Oh, absolutely.
And isn't that what's going on right here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, Bill, not all of us remember Tiananmen Square. But for those of us who do, university students who were outraged in the behavior of their country and tanks running over, you know, students unarmed and before the whole world. And we condemned that, Bill. You remember how we condemned that? How was this so different?
It's not different at all. The bottom line is we're going through COVID in a different way. Not COVID the virus, COVID the handling of how he handled COVID. Remember, it's going to be over by spring. Now, it's not going to be over by spring. Millions died when spring came, or a million died. We have to show the world and our country we're built on democracy, not communism.
So let me ask you, you say we have to show, you know, we were supposedly that before Donald Trump. So if we were that before Donald Trump, then how does this one man come and dismantle that? Can you tell me?
Well, here's what that one man is going to accomplish. You watch the backlash. You watch an asking for all the funding of Israel. You watch how people are going to... this man has started a movement. Now, you saw what happened, I don't know if it was this weekend or last weekend in Washington, with the support of Ukraine, right out in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Look at the backlash. Our great congressmen can't have town halls, and our senators can't have town halls. And our elected far-right officials can't have town halls. Now, there's plenty of Republicans left that can have town halls. And they won't get shouted out because they see the need to uphold the oath of office. The others, they don't care about the oath of office. They could care less. They just care on making people the right guy smile. Well, I'm sick and tired of it. We're all sick and tired of it. We are a nation of people living under a constitution and justice. Suddenly, justice and the constitution is not important.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you this. So, you know, 48% of Americans didn't vote or whatever the number was. Do you think that, and we've got to figure out a way to organize those people and hear their voices? Because if you get 10% of those 48% of the people who didn't vote, now you can bring some real pressure on the MAGAs and the Republicans, even if you got 5% of them. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that bill?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that one?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that one?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548.
Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Yes. Shortly, we'll be taking it to the streets. We'll be gathering at Memorial Square on 6th and Main here in Racine. An organized group, You Don't Know Me, But I'm Your Brother. And they're going to be organized. And they are going to be, and they are there, and this is the second week in a row, and they're going to continue to do this. They have had enough. That's what it's going to take all across this nation. Groups of citizens and people who have had enough, enough talk, enough feeling victimized. Because, as Tom from L.A. always says, we the people are the government. And it is going to take that all over this nation, in townships, in cities, all over this nation. I don't care if it takes, you know, during the civil rights struggle in Birmingham, Alabama, 320 days, blacks refused to get on the buses because of injustice. They weren't allowed to sit wherever they wanted to sit. And so nobody would help them. Nobody could feel their pain or understand their cause. And Dr. King, one of the greatest efforts ever witnessed. That's 360 8 days or somewhere around there. It was a year, over a year. Blacks walked, refused to get on the buses. And guess what? That policy was changed. It wasn't changed because of government. Government didn't change it. The politricksters didn't change it. It was the people. It was the people who had had enough. And they organized. And it began. 1 second, then to minutes, then to hours, then to days, then to weeks, then to months, and over a year. And said, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to tolerate it. Well, that's what's taking place this afternoon here in Racine, Wisconsin. Once again, 12 o'clock, Memorial Square, 6th and Main. As people have had enough, they're not asking anymore. Not asking all the people. Not asking the county supervisors. They're not asking the mayor. They're not asking the governor. They're not asking the president, the Congress people. They're not asking the president of the United States. They know that this is a battle that has to be won by the average rank and file American. So I'm thrilled that they feel that I have something to say. I do. And I'm going to say it. And I'm going to make it clear how proud I am of those citizens of the city of Racine. And that maybe they can be the impetus to move this thing forward. Hey, Eric from Tulsa, what's happening, man?
Hey, Earl. Happy Motown Monday, as always. I just got one question. I know you're running low on time, so I just got one question to ask all your listeners and to pose to everybody is, if you think about it, and, you know, because a lot of people complain about the Democrats, what they're not doing, they're hiding, et cetera, et cetera. And I've seen Representative Glenn Moore out there quite a bit. She was at the VA rally, and she's out there talking and warning people. But at what point in our history have politicians ever led a human rights movement?
Hey, Eric, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you very much,
everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on Air. I'll let you know how great it was on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Taking it to the street.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Just in, a source close to Ukrainian President Zelensky says that Ukraine will propose a partial ceasefire in talks with the U.S. tomorrow in Saudi Arabia. Off the coast of East England, at least 32 people were brought ashore, all of them on board either an oil tanker or a cargo ship that ran into each other. ABC's Marcus Moore at the Foreign Desk.
The U.S.-flagged oil tanker and a Portuguese container ship collided. And we've seen some images that show what appears to be two vessels on fire and thick black smoke billowing into the air.
The market still volatile today as traders weigh the effect of Trump tariffs will have. The Dow is down 358 points this hour. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case from Colorado on whether state governments can enforce laws banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ children. Colorado, one of roughly half the states that ban the practice of trying to change a person's sexual orientation through counseling. This is ABC News.
I'm Jay.